1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
It's time for California Ag Today. On the Ag Information Network, I am Haley Shipp. Cows play an essential role in California agriculture, and UC Davis researchers are exploring new ways to support productive herds while reducing methane from digestion. A new study from UC Davis, UC Berkeley, and the Innovative Genomics Institute looks closely at what happens inside the rumen when cows are given a small amount of red seaweed in their feed. Earlier, UC Davis work showed that seaweed can sharply cut methane, and this new research uncovers what is happening behind the scenes. The team found that the seaweed changes the activity of certain microbial genes, which briefly increases hydrogen in the rumen. That shift gives a naturally occurring bacterium called Duodenobacillus the chance to use that hydrogen before it can feed methane-producing microbes. Hydrogen is a key energy source in the rumen, specifically for methane-producing microbes, said Spencer Diamond of the Innovative Genomics Institute, adding that this study helps us better understand how other microbes that naturally occur in the rumen can divert this hydrogen away from methanogens. Cows fed seaweed in the study cut methane by 60% and improved feed efficiency, pointing to promising animal-friendly climate solutions.
Increasing your almond yield can seem like a tough nut to crack, but it doesn't have to be. Protect your crop with Marivon fungicide at Bloom for added resiliency against frost, long-lasting broad-spectrum disease control, and proven yield results. See? That wasn't tough at all. Marivon fungicide, number one at Bloom for all the right reasons. Always read and follow label directions.
Today, we're talking with aphids and whiteflies about Safina insecticide from BASF.
We just got nailed with it.
So tell us, how you feeling?
Really, really weird.
And you still want to devour this field?
No way, bro.
There you have it, folks. Safina insecticide is specifically engineered to disorient aphids and whiteflies so they can't eat. And when they can't eat, they can't destroy.
Help protect your alfalfa from aphids with Safina insecticide. Always read and follow label directions.
This is California Ag Today on the Ag Information Network. I am Haley Shipp. For more ag news, check us out online at aginfo.net.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages continue to sell off as tech shares slide on concerns about valuations of artificial intelligence-related stocks. Shares of AI darling NVIDIA are down 1.5% as investors eagerly await the world's most valuable company's quarterly earnings report, which will be released after the closing bell on Wednesday. NVIDIA stock has dropped around 10% this month, and shares of Meta Platforms are down nearly 1%. The social media company prevailing in a historic Federal Trade Commission case that could have forced the social media giant to spin off Instagram and WhatsApp. A judge ruling that the social media company does not hold a monopoly in social networking. And Medtronic shares are jumping 6% after the medical device maker posted better than expected financial results, boosted by what management called a robust volume of medical procedures. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
There's no championship league for small business owners, but if there was, you'd be at the top of the standings. Because going pro with Lenovo Pro means you've got the winning formation, one-on-one advice, IT solutions, and customized hardware powered by Intel Core Ultra processors help you stay ahead of the competition. Business goes pro with Lenovo Pro. Sign up for free at lenovo.com/pro.
Lenovo, Lenovo.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Yes, Virginia, there really is a domino theory, and sad to say it's working right now. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
Those who ridicule the domino theory believed in it when Hitler was picking off small nations in Europe 37 years ago. They just don't believe it applies when the enemy is communist and the countries losing their freedom are Asian. The term domino theory describes what happens to our allies if we back down and let one be taken over by the communists because we don't want to be bothered. The enemy decides it's safe to go after others, that we represent no threat to his aggression. But even worse, our allies, no longer able to trust us, start making deals. One can almost hear an echo of the hollow tapping of Neville Chamberlain's umbrella on the cobblestones of Munich. But this time, the appeasement is taking place in the halls of Congress. When we withdrew our forces from the long bloodletting in Vietnam, we did so with the understanding that we'd provide weapons and ammunition to enable South Vietnam and Cambodia to resist if the North Vietnamese violated the negotiated ceasefire. Well, violating agreements is standard operating procedure for communists. They violated this one 72,000 times in the first 12 months, including the cruel denial of any word about our 1,300 men who are still listed as missing in action. That, incidentally, was a major point to us in the negotiated ceasefire. So far, they've thumbed their noses at us and refused to allow any of our 31 search teams to set foot in their territory. We do nothing because the Congress has taken from the Commander-in-Chief the authority to take any action at all to enforce the terms of the treaty. Now that same Congress, with unprecedented irresponsibility, has refused to authorize the money that would permit our nation to keep its pledged word. The dominoes begin to fall. 3 years ago, I represented our government in Thailand to assure them the president's trip to Peking did not mean we would abandon Thailand and close our air bases there, a major part of their economy. Now they tell us they don't want our bases. They're going to do business with Red China. The Philippines, whose history and existence as a nation is intertwined with ours, have announced they're reassessing their relationship with us and are negotiating with Red China. Japan, the great industrial power capable of modernizing and arming a communist Asia, has just opened discussions with Hanoi. But the dominoes are worldwide. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger returns empty-handed from the Middle East. A few months ago, the power and reliability of the United States had brought the Israeli-Arab conflict closer to peace than at any time in 50 years. Now there's talk of war by summer. The press described Kissinger's eyes as wet with tears of frustration. Our power and reliability are no longer believable because of our failure to stand by an ally in far-off Indochina. Turkey stands aloof, snubbing us. Greece, the southern anchor of the NATO line, leans leftward and no longer looks forward to visits by our 6th Fleet in the Mediterranean. And with Portugal going communist at the other end of that ocean, the 6th Fleet may soon find it must withdraw or become a model ship in a bottle. Once the dominoes fall, we may find ourselves very lonely indeed. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday, it's 12:30, the bear is in the building, and welcome back to Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. Our first guest today, I'm pleased to have back in studio, Seth Peek, Atascadero City Council member. We're going to be talking about Atascadero's wastewater management task force and what's going on with that. A big general plan update for the 20-year general plan update in Atascadero is also going on, so we want to get an update there. And then just general economic development, new businesses coming to Atascadero. Seth, welcome back to PWM.
Thanks for having me, Barry.
It's good to have you. Obviously, you survived the earthquake.
Yeah, I didn't even feel it. We were driving back from the Nest with a little late breakfast with my mom, and apparently it happened while we were on the 101.
Yeah, it was a good jolt. I hope everybody, all the listeners out there, are doing okay. So it was a morning wake-up call. So, and at 1 o'clock, we have Lance Coward. He's a CPA with Versant Advisors. We are going to do a deep dive into the One Big Beautiful Bill Law Act, whatever it's called these days, because this is really good for most Americans and most middle-class Americans, really. And I want people to understand how good and how many benefits that are going to come after the first of the year when you get your taxes filed. We'll talk about the tax breaks for working Americans and retirees and business owner tax breaks, plus the importance of your entity's business structure. You can call or text with questions to 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Seth, it was a big weekend and wet weekend at Atascadero. How did all the events go there?
So we had the Fall Fest was Friday mm-hmm. through Sunday. Friday evening there was no rain. It was beautiful weather. It was very temperate. I went out there on Friday evening with my family, my mom, my wife, my nephews, brother and sister-in-law. Mm-hmm. And we had a great time. We had lots of just cool, you know, music, lots of snacks, donuts, a bunch of junk food, you know. There's lots of carnival rides and a lot of people were there.
Not MAGA approved, huh?
What?
The junk food.
No, there was probably a lot of unapproved things in there. Maha. We had the Crave donuts. That's always a crowd favorite with mm-hmm. little mini donuts. But the carnival did very well Friday night. I can't say the same for Saturday and Sunday. It was pretty wet all weekend. We did have the Colony Days parade. It was not canceled. Justice promised rain or shine. So there was a handful of entries that were canceled. Some schools canceled. Obviously, the band can't blow their horns in the rain. It was actively raining the whole parade. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the big standout people in the parade was we had the royalty, you know, the Davises. They were king and queen.
Who are the Davises?
Like Davis Auto Body.
Oh, okay, got it.
They're actually the longest standing Atascadero Chamber of Commerce member, Davis Auto Body. Mm-hmm. They've been around, their family's been around for decades, great people. So they were there. And then the two schools that stood out the most, they had the Fine Arts Academy. Butterflies were out there dancing in the rain, and all those kids did well. They ended up winning the award. And then the San Benito Elementary School Bengals were out in full force. So kudos to those two groups of kids for they're sticking it in the rain.
Well, if they can play football in the rain, they can do a dance in the rain. Yeah, so that's cool.
Definitely.
All right, let's get to more serious matters in Atascadero. It looks like you're grappling with a significant amount of deferred maintenance on the town's wastewater infrastructure. Can you take some time to unpack this matter and explain what this is all going to entail?
Yeah, I would just like to clarify, deferred maintenance might not be the right wording for it. It's more of the state water board is requiring us to upgrade our system, mm-hmm. and we are also on the brink of being at capacity as well. So we're dealing with an issue of the state water board dropping a lot of regulation down on us and a lot of other neighboring, not just us, you know, around the state. Mm-hmm. There's a handful of municipalities and regions that are dealing with this as well. But so we are this spring, about late winter, the city council found out the gravity of what we're dealing with, that we have to completely overhaul our sewer plant it's off Sycamore Road over by near the Salinas River. And it goes, the pond system, we have an old pond system that goes back, you can see it from Chalk Mountain Golf Course, and it goes up almost to the border of Ash and Halkin Road, that area over there. And so we are in this position now where we have to either raise rates exorbitantly, like a lot, in order to pay for this new plant, or push back on the state board a little bit on some of the requirements that they're asking, which are bizarre requirements and over the top, in my opinion. Or we have to come up with creative ways to mitigate the cost somehow. And that's kind of where we are right now. And it's probably one of the bigger issues that's not as sexy as an issue as a lot of people like to deal with in cities. But it's also a big issue that will impact people's property tax bill.
So it looks like, and correct me if I'm wrong, you've published an updated FEASR schedule, right? Wastewater schedule? I saw that on the website. Is that correct?
Well, we did raise the rates in June.
Okay.
Because we have to raise it before the July property tax info goes to the county, so it can be on your bill for the year. But there's proposed increases that'll possibly be coming down the pike the next few years. They haven't been voted in. They haven't gone through the Prop 218 channel yet of getting the public's opportunity to petition. So there is a fee schedule on the website of proposed fee increases.
Right.
Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a percentage across the board that people should be expecting for increases? Or
not at this time.
I don't
want to give the wrong number because, you know, I'd like to keep it as low as possible. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, there could be throwing around big numbers of upgrading all our lift stations, upgrading our sewer plant. It could be a scary number, you know, $100 to $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we only have 5,500 sewer connections in the city with 30,000 people, because so much of Atascadero is still on septic. Even residential homes,
okay,
in the middle of downtown are on septic.
Hmm.
So bearing the cost of this is going to, you know, it's a delicate situation, and a lot of new construction and new commercial building happening. So it would be great. And my aim is that the new construction and the developers pay their fair share of the new plant. So coming up with an idea of what the residents can expect to pay in the next few years is just not something I'm prepared to do,
okay.
And I don't want to speculate.
I mean, so is the cost of this going to be shared by the state and the rate payers, or is it something that it's all going to be on the rate payers? Don't know.
The state will not. They're not going to be paying for this new plant. They're just telling us what we need to do.
Got it.
But there's a good possibility, and you know, it's not set in stone yet, but I'd push for ASH, Atascadero State Hospital, mm-hmm. to link up into our system, because they generate 250,000 gallons a day, and their system, their sewer system is in the same position where they need to overhaul it because the state's requiring no longer to use this style of treatment. So if we can have ASH jump into our system, they pay the connection fee, which is a large amount for something like ASH, and then they're paying their sewer on their annual bill, paying towards the new plant. So that would be a big addition to the city, and they'd be paying their fair share of the new sewer treatment and mm-hmm. also just the ongoing maintenance through the years.
So do the people that are on septic, are they going to have any impact on their bottom? On
zero.
Zero. Okay, so it's basically, what did you say, 5,500?
5,500 sewer connections in the city. I mean, that's a rough number. It's probably it's somewhere around there. Yeah.
You may have mentioned this, but I mean, this is going to be pretty extensive work, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be extensive work. We have to change the plant into what the state's telling us, into a mechanical plant. No, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a public works specialist. I've been in city council for a year, but I can tell you right now what they're asking us to do. If I was just if it was like a business telling another business, or a business telling a homeowner, you have to do this to your house, it's a big ask.
Yeah.
When we have a plant that works, the pond system, it works.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't we just create more ponds? Why couldn't mm-hmm. we just expand on that and just do, you know, upgrade our lift stations and make sure our mains are big enough for the new construction? That would be a lot cheaper than having to build an entirely new plant.
Right.
But who am I? You know, I'm just
a city
guy.
Council member.
I know. Tongue in cheek. But so the one to give you one idea of the absurdity of it is that the amount of salts in the result of the sewer treatment,
mm-hmm.
they want to be lower than what is allowed to be in our tap water. So they want us to treat the water to such a degree to where the outgoing from the sewer treatment plant,
they being the
is
state.
cleaner, quote unquote, salt wise than the water we drink from Atascadero Mutual Water Company.
Is there a reason for that, or in their minds?
Well, they're basing it off of a sample that was taken in the 70s from somewhere along the Salinas River, somewhere near Atascadero, and it's unclear where that sample was taken and what day and what environmental conditions. So they're basing it off. That's the baseline for our readings, and so it's unclear. We're doing a lot of pushback. I know Councilwoman Susan Funk is doing a lot of legwork with Senator Laird's office in that regard, and she's tip of the spear talking to Senator Laird's office. So I commend her for that. She's doing a lot of work. We were both assigned to the task force, the wastewater task force, and we're pushing back on a lot of this, you know, but some of it's going to have to get upgraded and changed, because Yeah. Can't say no to everything the government sends your way.
Or the state, yeah. Yeah, the state. So is there a timeline for decision-making here, or are you guys just at the beginning of the process?
Well, we've approved, the city council approved the design process to start. Mm-hmm. We approved it last week.
Okay.
But we have yet to, we don't have the funding mm-hmm. to build it as mm-hmm. of this moment. So we're that's an ongoing process that we'll be exploring more into next spring.
Well, it looks like, I'm glad to see you're a little more responsible than the Paso Basin JPA that was made up here to control the water here. You guys are at least thinking it through.
Well, I'd hope to think so. Our task force is pretty, it's a pretty wide net. We have business owners on the task force. We have just residents. We have retired people from Public Works. We have the water treatment guy from Cal Poly's on it. We have laundromat owner, local developers. So we have a big water company director, John Neal's on that task force. So we have a really good organization of people that are putting our heads together to see what we can do for this issue that we're faced with all out of a, it feels like out of sudden, you know, mm-hmm. it came out of nowhere. And I think one of the bigger things to remember too, as a resident of Atascadero myself, and now that I'm on sewer, my new house where I moved to, is that we didn't have our rates raised mm-hmm. from the early 90s to like 20 plus years. Mm. So city council, city leadership didn't want to raise the sewer rates on residents for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, I can see why. You don't never want to raise rates without any reason. And probably they thought, you know, the sewer plant's going to work for a long time. It's a good pond system.
Right.
But nobody can predict statewide regulation and state water board regulations 20 years in the future, 25 yeah. years in the future. So now we're paying for it now with a little bit of an increase over time. Probably mm-hmm. we would be in a lot lighter of a situation
yeah.
than where we are now.
All right, let's shift gears to the general plan because sure. that's even a bigger deal for you guys, I think.
A 20-year plan. We're calling it 2045. So you can see it at Atascadero2045.org mm-hmm. is where you can go and check it out. It's a very long PDF, but if you can go to the hyperlinks and see the actual maps mm-hmm. and the different chapters that deal with the idea. This is just a framework of what we want to see in Atascadero in the next 20 years. It's not the set in stone, this is going to go here, this is going to go there. But the most exciting part for me, I think, is loosening up what can go where in terms of commercial and what you call light industrial, but now what we call like innovation flex zones.
Yeah, why don't you unpack that a bit?
So innovation flex zone, if the easiest way to explain it is if you think about Tin City in Templeton, you could have a coffee roaster next to a wood shop, next to a winery, next to a furniture guy, next to, a walk-up burrito window. Mm-hmm. You know, it just depends on what you want to put in there. It would just be considered light, like industrial flex. Industrial flex is not mixed, so you would be able to have apartments mm-hmm. above a coffee shop in that zone. But there are generally the proposed areas for this light, this industrial flex, innovation flex, excuse me, it's a newer term. They're already are commercial zones. So you might have it from like where Smart and Final is now in Atascadero, that whole area, it's a big parking lot. Well, we want to rezone an innovation flex because maybe big, huge parking lots that are empty anyways down the road, you could have a frontage building that has some other kinds of shops there. So changing some of the red zones, commercial zones mm-hmm. on the map, they are red. Changing some of the commercial zones or the what's now considered commercial park, like where Joe Bella Coffee Shop is mm-hmm. in Atascadero or, VS Marine, Kennedy Club Fitness, that kind of area, which is now commercial park or commercial, can be recategorized innovation flex. So that way there's not as many businesses that will need conditional use permits to operate there. So I think it's just really easing up on commercial viability in the city mm-hmm. by creating these innovation flex zones. And it's a really, the zoning name, it sounds more interesting. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds more like, what is that? It's really just light industrial mixed with commercial, mixed with service, mixed with food service. It's just whatever you can kind of think of as a business. And it's just going to be, it's going to make for some really interesting business districts in Atascadero.
So what are you seeing as far as increasing affordable housing? The ongoing conversation I have with everybody, we need more affordable housing. What is there anything in that area that you're going to be working on?
Yes. So the inventory is what inventory is what's increasing. So you're going to have areas that are now maybe low density that might be increased to medium density increased to high density. We had a lot of feedback over different meetings at City Hall where people could come and voice their opinion on proposed rezonings. And we did actually steer the planning department, I think 3 or 4 weeks ago at one of our city council meetings, to reconsider some of the areas that they were going to do high density, but it was butting up against single family residents on an acre with ant horses. And there's certain areas where we redirected them. Let's ease up on that. We don't want to put three-story apartment buildings right next door to a semi-rural single-family residence.
Right.
So there's some changes that are still in play there. There's nothing set in stone. So if you go on the website and see the map, there's some changes that may be coming down the pike. But generally, it's areas that are already higher traffic. You know, roads that are arterial off of the 41 Morrill Road, roads that are arterial right off of El Camino Real that are currently low density. They might go up to medium density. And so it just would create more units over time. This doesn't mean overnight these places will be built, but over time you could be able to, you know, have a duplex to a quadplex in an area maybe where there was a single family home. But generally those are sequestered to higher traffic corridors, what you call like arteries, you know, of town.
As far as your planning, you know, department, are you okay with the pace of which they're getting projects approved, or is there a lot of complaints happening? Because I hear different things from different folks.
You mean just in general?
Yeah, like just right in general. What's the impression you're getting at the council?
Well, I know that the planning department is working their tail off. I do know that. They do have a plan checker, a third-party plan checker to help with the volume on the first plan check. You know, I have heard from some residents and some business owners in town that they're disgruntled with how slow things can be. I do know that that can happen in any business, you know. And sometimes you have understaffing or you have, you know, certain periods of the year where there's other agenda items or other staff reports that are needing to be done. And so you have to be able to balance how much your staff is doing and what they're focusing on. But there's always room to improve with anything. I do know that Tascadero as a city is very lean. You know, we have a really balanced budget, but we are very lean and we get a lot done with a lean group of people. And I really applaud our staff for doing that, for getting what we do done the way we do.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. We got about a minute left or less, and we may carry this over, but I'm really impressed with what you're doing down up at the north end of town. I really like the Valley Fresh Market. That's really convenient for me, and I like what they've done with it, and I'm sure they're still getting some of the kinks out, but it looks like you got some other stuff going on there as well. So tell us a little bit about that.
So there's a distillery going into the right of Valley Fresh. And that'll be they're working out the details right now, but that's happening.
And there's no truth to the rumor that I'm an owner of that distillery.
Are you?
No, I'm not. Oh. I'm not the owner of that distillery.
there's no truth.
No
is
truth.
Is that there's a rumor?
No, I'm just gigging you.
And I would say that another really important one there is there's an empty pad to the right. It's a 10,000 square foot building that's going in to the right of Valley Fresh on the corner.
So to the north.
To the south.
Oh, south. Okay.
Yeah, if you're facing the store to the right, and that's going to be Learning Experience has a lease on that, and they're a daycare company. So daycare and learning center, tutoring, you know, young kids. And there's a big need in North County, especially for child care. And so that's going to be a really state-of-the-art, really proven company. They've got locations in a lot of areas, different states. So that's going to be in that center as well. And I think people are going to look forward to that for sure.
Great. Well, I hear the bumper music, but when we return, we're going to ask Seth about a quick report on homelessness and just some other things that are going on in the county. So please stay tuned.
Body Shop. on multiple occasions.
Camille talks about her experiences at Davis Body Shop.
Each time I've been greeted by very friendly and professional staff members. Patrick conducts a thorough assessment of the damage and provides a detailed overview of what the repairs will entail. Their quality of work is exceptional. Thanks, Davis Body Shop.
And thank you, Camille, for sharing your story. When customers write Davis Body Shop, we read each and every letter or email, and we listen to everything you have to say. After all, that's why we've been around for over a half a century, and that's why we are the longest established shop on the Central Coast. We are the Auto Collision Specialist. If you ever need auto body repair service, remember Davis Body Shop on El Camino Real at Atascadero and at Paso Robles Chevrolet on Theater Drive. And maybe you too will say,
thanks, Davis Body Shop.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect, and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finish work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Seth Peek, Atascadero City Council member and a local entrepreneur. 805-238-5775 for call-in questions or text questions. One of the things I want to mention and that before I get any further is I want to let everybody know about the San Luis Obispo County Lincoln Club Christmas dinner party that's happening on Thursday, December 4th. From 5:30 to 9. It's a great event at the Badana Inn. There are still tickets available. And you, if you're interested, please call Kristen Handley. That's Kristen Handley at 805-238-1003. So 805-235-1003. You can text or call Kristen and make a reservation. So you need to RSVP by the 24th. And Seth, I think here says you're going to be there, right?
Yeah, Karen and I will both be there. We are members of the Lincoln Club, and we went to the Christmas party dinner last year. It's a great time.
It's a fun event.
Yeah.
It's really a great event. Okay, a couple of other things we want to talk about. Well, first, I just want to make a comment. You can comment further if you want. I am, you know, unlike some cities that I see around here, not to mention any names, Atascadero's city council has an apparent ability to make decisions and move forward with a lack of drama. What accounts for that?
You know, I think it's just a mutual respect for each other on the city council. We also have staff that's very efficient under Jim Lewis's direction. And everybody, we're presenting information without bias. So the staff is presenting information without bias, and it comes to us. And we come at it with mutual respect. And, you know, we talk to each other on city council evenings, and we come to an agreement. You know, just this last one, we were talking about funding for community block grant. And we ended up speaking our mind about where the money should go. And then we came to an agreement on, let's just do an average of all of our opinions on it. We come up with a, you know, there's really no animosity on the city council and just a great group of people with mutual respect for each other.
Well, and it's great. It sounds like you just want to make a decision, the right decision, and move forward
yes.
with it. So that makes a lot of sense. You said you had something good to report on homelessness in Atascadero. What's going on with that?
Well, there's a unofficial count. I mean, it's as official as it can be with our community action team. They keep track of anybody who's not living in a vehicle or who's not living in a transitional housing like Echo. And the fall of 2024, prior to the election, somewhere around September, October, when I was doing ride-alongs and meeting with law enforcement, that number was around 35.
Mm-hmm.
This fall, we're at about 25, and that's like a rough number. And the CAT team, the community action team, does do counts because they visit camps every day. That's their job is to go around making sure people are either following the law or they want resources, they'll take resources and creating that trust. So we are down 10 in Atascadero, mm-hmm. and that could be a combination of our efforts of the CAT going out in the community with their psych techs as well, and they're getting people to take services and to want help. And also, you know, I would speculate a lot of it has to do with crime being crime again.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the spring, we did arrest a, you know, for lack of a better word, a drug kingpin that was providing a lot of the hard drugs like fentanyl and whatnot in Atascadero. And so that, you know, cutting off a supply maybe puts somebody over the edge to go, maybe I need help. Maybe mm-hmm. I want to stop using. Maybe right. I want to get off the streets. So we're moving in the right direction, and I really want to commend our CAT mm-hmm. and Chief Settle's focus on homelessness and getting people the help they need.
That's good news. That's good to hear for a change. All right, I know before, I want to talk to you a little bit about the real estate market and what you're seeing in trends of people's movement in and out of North County and property sales. But before, I know you have some events that you got coming up that you want to talk about.
Well, in relation to that, we are doing our third annual Santa Claus at Wildfields Brewery. So December 6th from 11 to 1, you can bring your kiddos, or if you're a child at heart, you want to come sit next to Santa and get a candy cane, get a nice professional photo with Santa. Mm-hmm. It's free of charge to the public. We do it as a donation to Honor Flight. So we donate to the Honor Flight Central Coast. And North County Santa is a big proponent of, some of you probably know who this is, Santa Claus. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but our very own Santa Claus around here. And
is that going to be you this year? Are you going to be dressed up as Santa?
No, I'm an elf. Santa Claus is the actual Santa. He has a real beard. A lot of your listeners probably know who he is.
Okay.
He lives at the North Pole, but he comes to North County every year.
Okay.
And goes around, does a tour. And so you can bring your child, your grandkid, your niece or nephew, or yourself, and come get a beer, get some food, and take a picture with Santa Claus on December 6th, 11 to 1.
And that's down in the... Next to the
movie theater, Wildfields Brewery, next to the movie theater in Atascadero. And this is a fundraiser for Honor Flight Central Coast.
Any other big events happening at Atascadero between now and the end of the year?
We have Winter Wonderland, and I wish I had my notes in front of me, but the internet exists, mm-hmm. so you can look it up, Winter Wonderland. And we're doing the tree lighting ceremony on December 5th at around 5 to 6 o'clock. Okay. So we'll be doing the tree lighting in Sunken Garden and the Christmas tree lighting. Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. All right. So in the last couple of minutes we have here, you know, something else you know about, as you mentioned, real estate, you and Karen, right?
Yeah.
You guys have realtors. What are you seeing as far as movement of property and people in and out of the North County? What are you thinking? And it's, anecdotal stuff, really.
Yeah. Know? So for us, it's people that have a life change. There's a mm-hmm. death in the family. There's a marriage. There's an extra kid on the way. Someone needing to move here for work. We're not seeing as much of people wanting to upgrade because they just want a bigger house. We're seeing more life changes. 2025 has been busier for us than 2024. And I think it's just because people they're having interest rate fatigue, where they realize that perhaps it's not going back down to 3.5 to 3 to 4 even. So they need to move and they need to make it happen. So they're figuring out ways to make it happen. We're also seeing personally sales with second homes. So either the people are getting rid of a second home to free up that capital, or they're upgrading their second home, or they're buying a second home on the Central Coast because they have excess of capital and want to put it somewhere for fun. So those are mostly what we're seeing is life changes, big life changes, forcing people to make the move or to, you know, finally bite the bullet and do it with a higher interest rate, or second homes, either buying or selling second homes.
What do you make of this whole, they've been talking about it for the last few weeks, there's a survey, the average new home buyer is high, the age of them is like age 40. Is that what you're seeing here for the first time home buyers?
Yeah, we just helped a first time home buyer couple move into the Ground Squirrel Hollow area, mm-hmm. and they are about 36 years old, and we're seeing that's probably the minimum I'm seeing right now. Yeah. Not a lot of people in their 20s or early 30s.
All right. Well, cool. Well, thanks for coming in. I'll see you at the Lincoln Club dinner.
Great.
And how's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
On social media, it's Seth Peek.
All right. Well, that's easy.
That's easy.
All right, folks. On the other side of the break, we'll be visiting. Thank you for being here, by the way. Mm-hmm. We'll be visiting with Lance Cowart, CPA at Versant Advisors. We are going to unpack the big, beautiful bill and the tax breaks that you're going to be seeing next year. So stand by.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.